Thank you, Brother Tommy. Y'all let me know if I'm too loud now. I sound loud to myself standing right here. You know, we were in here Monday night, and Jonathan Wilburn actually used our speakers. You know, a lot of times he brings his own. He came in, looked at these, and he said, y'all got as good as it gets. And he plugged into them, but he turned them way up. I like the way it sounded, but y'all may not want to hear me that loud. If I get too loud, please let me know. I want to talk tonight about truth. Here's the title, and this would be, I could very easily preach like on Sunday morning on this. His truth endures, amen? His truth endures despite all the things that are going on. His truth endures despite people that are rejecting it, despite teachings that are against it. God's not changed, and God's word is not changed. And I want to just read a couple of verses of scripture to you and just give you some thoughts tonight. But in John chapter 14 and verse 6, the famous verse, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now sometimes I hear people and they've got their explanation, and it's almost like this. They've got a Bible in one hand, but they've got some other book in their other hand. Now, if this is a Bible and this is a Quran, one of them's a lie. If this is a Bible and this is the Humanist Manifesto, one of them's a lie. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, here's a question. For some people, they say, well, is there really such a thing as truth? This is the higher, the philosophy that has really infiltrated our world in about the past 300 or 400 years, but it's just becoming more and more prevalent in the United States today, especially in the university system. You know, you go into a secular college today, and, you know, I remember when my daughter was going through whatever it is that you go to when you sit there and all the kids are there and the parents are there, and I'm sitting with my daughter, and she's about to go to college, and first thing out of their mouth is they tell them that they don't have to do nothing we say anymore. See, all parents are there to do is pay the bill. Okay, of course, I'm just boiling. The way that I believe and the way that I stand, and, you know, of course, I went to the same school my daughter did. I loved it. I took public speaking on purpose. Okay? Now, they didn't bother me. I know what I believe. Amen. Same thing with this world. But here's the question that's being asked everywhere in the world today. Is there really such a thing as truth? What is truth? Well, I'll tell you that question, what is truth? It's not new. You go back to the book of John, chapter number 18, in verse 33. Here's Jesus before Pilate. It says, when Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, he called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Remember, look at what Jesus is saying. My kingdom's not of this world. And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth or understands my voice. Now in the 38th verse, here's what Pilate said. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? You see, the school of higher learning is basically there is no truth. In other words, what's true to you is true, and if it's not true to you, then it's not true. In other words, everything's okay and we ought to just go along to get along. Greek word, baloney. There is such a thing as truth. And the Bible tells us that truth is Jesus. Well, how can that be? And I even thought about it this way. Truth's a person. Well, Jesus, he's more than a person. He's God. And if he's God and if he's creator, and as the scripture says, that all things exist by him and through him. See, number one, truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "As in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, here's what that tells me about this book that I believe makes this book greater than any other book. This book's holy. Now, something I believe about the Bible, as I believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. I believe, as the scripture said, the holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they penned the words down. And down through time, you say, well, the Bible, you know, here's what the secularists say. The Bible produces circular reasoning. It supports itself. Well, here's the thing to understand. It's written over a period of about 2,000 years in three different languages by multiple authors over time. Not written by one man. And those documents were brought together, and then if you study about the canon of Scripture, these men come together and they had these things and they prayed and they believed that some of this is absolutely the infallible Word of God. Well, if you ever study numerology, you'll be amazed at how it's put together. The books of poetry, the books of the law, the gospels, the epistles, or the letters. Well, I believe it's the Word of God. And what the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You see, I believe that truth is Jesus. And there are those who come up with, they want another way to heaven, but he said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay? See, truth is Jesus. Truth is a standard. Truth is unchanging because truth is truth. Now, here's the philosophy that we see in the world today. There's a term, the term is secularization. I'll give you a definition for it. It is a minimization of the religious impact on the world and an increase of worldly impact on the church, where religious ideas, institutions, and interpretations have lost their social significance. Now, folks, you can look up secularization. You'll get a definition similar to that, but I got that one from Ravi Zacharias, just so you'll know, okay? I love listening to Ravi Zacharias. But here's what secular means. It means pertaining to this world and this life, not religious or spiritual. Well, what's secularization? You see secularization in the churches today. Here's secularization when you have a man that says he believes the Bible, but then he stands up and supports a doctrine that's being common today. It's starting in California. It's coming this way. It's called Chrislam. Well, here's what Chrislam is. It's Christianity and it's Islam. And it's saying that you get to God your way, and I'll get to God my way. And let's all just get along. Now, folks, I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one way. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Okay? Well, secularization is this. It's where the world comes into the church so much, and the church gets into the world so much, that you get to the point you can't tell the difference. I mean, there is such a thing as truth. And there is a time in our lives that we draw this line and we say, this is truth and that's not truth. And God's truth's going to endure. The question is, are we going to endure with it? Give you an idea, just a thought of what secularization is. And this is a true thing. I don't want you to perform this experiment. Just take my word for it. But you can take a bullfrog and you can put him in a pot of lukewarm water. And you set that pot on the stove, and you turn that eye on real low. And as that water begins to warm, that old frog, he'll just sit there. And he'll sit there, and he'll adjust to that temperature change till you look in there, and he'll be gone. And when people don't stand on truth, that's what happens. You get everything else coming in, and it comes in slow, and you allow it, and you say, well, I don't want to make a big deal about that. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, I want to read you a verse. I begin to think about these, the woes in Isaiah chapter number 5. But Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says this, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, we're living in a world today, and I'm amazed by it. I heard where a guy got a ticket this week because he was warming his car up in his driveway. Y'all hear that? And I heard that, and I thought, no, wait a minute now. This guy's going to go to, have to, and they said he'd have to come to court or just pay the fine. And here's what they said. Well, somebody could steal your car. See, we've come to the point, to the circle, to where now there's so much protection for the criminal out there. You and I just got to do the best we can. See, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And if we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off the truth and we'll be accepting everything. Well, I mentioned a little of this and a little of that. The next thing is pluralization. Pluralization is where there are a competing number of worldviews to its followers, but no worldview is dominant. I remember one time, and this is odd to think about it because the day that we're living in today, but it was 1985. I hadn't been out of high school too long in 1985. But I was working on a job out in near Perimeter Mall, and it was called the Atlanta Unity Church. And there was a guy that was working out there as a laborer who had taken off of work for a period of time just to work on his own church. And I got to talking to him. And the things that he told me, I'm just going to be honest with you, as a 17, 18-year-old young man, I hadn't been exposed to that. See, I grew up in church where I just thought everybody believed that Jesus was Lord. I just thought that everybody lived like we live. Now, I realize that's not the case, and especially when I got out and I began to talk to this guy, and as I began to talk to him, here's what he said. He said, Jesus didn't walk in 1985. And he said, you can't say, and then he started trying to tell me that Jesus is not the only way, and you can do this, and you can do that. And I said, whoa. You know, when you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within you. It speaks. And it speaks to you. And here's the problem with this pluralization. Is, folks, every way is not the way to heaven. There's one way, and it's through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. Don't say you know him and you don't know me. Then you have this one. It's kind of like that song, I'll Do It My Way. It's privatization, where you separate to yourself and you become your own God with your own purpose. In other words, truth is what you say it is. Well, no, it's not. It's really just not. Because God's God and I'm not. And the first thing we have to do if we're ever going to have a relationship with God is you got to surrender. You got to recognize that you're not God. You got to surrender to him and give to him. And that's what people just won't do. I've heard grown men and women literally say, I am not surrendering. Well, you're not going to be saved. And the truth is, everybody's not going to be. But we'd like to think that they are, wouldn't we? I would. But that's not what the Word of God says. Now, truth is Jesus, but I want to give you something else. Truth is a standard. And I begin to think about that, and I begin to run through the Bible. You know, when you really begin to do Bible study, folks, you can spend a lot of time. You get you, I love an iPad, and I'm not a bookworm or anything, but this has been amazing for Bible study, okay? I used to have this little thing called a Franklin. I'd type in a verse, and a couple of minutes later, it'd come up. Now I do it, and it's immediate. I punched in standard, and I started looking at it, and boom, 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 boom. One after another, verses begin to come. And it talked about how God was going to raise up a standard for the people. Let me just give you a couple of verses that I found. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22, the first part of the verse says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles." Folks, that's us. "And set up my standard to the people." My standard. That's truth. That means there is something that's right and there is something that's wrong. Then in Isaiah 62, 10, he said, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, and lift up a standard for the people. What's he telling the prophet? He said, go before them and tell them what's right and what's wrong. Tell them what's wrong with their land. Tell them why they're in the shape they're in. Then in Jeremiah 51, 27, it says, "Set ye up a standard in the land and blow the trumpet among the nations." You see, there is a standard, and it's in Christ. And everything is not truth. So what does this mean to us? What does it teach us? Is that truth is not random. Okay? A couple of Sundays ago, I began to talk about the Star of Bethlehem, and I know I got out there in space real quick. And I didn't necessarily mean to. I thought about it a lot. But it amazes me, and I'm going to go back right now. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if the stars were random? Do you know that everything that God creates is in perfection? It's a perfect clock. Perfection. How in the world can we launch a rocket and send it to Mars knowing that it's going to take so many years to get there if we don't have the perfect calculation that came from those three laws of planetary motion? Because God's clock is perfect. If it were random, what if you walked out and you looked at the stars every night and the Big Dipper was not where it was supposed to be? And Virgo was not where she was supposed to be? And you looked over here and way off over there is Andromeda, but really, tomorrow it's over here. It's not that way. You see, truth is not random, and God's truth is not random. God's standard is not random, and it's not something that we choose. It's something that he made because Jesus is truth, and Jesus is the Son of God. And in the beginning, when God said, "Let us make man," who's he talking to? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you and I were foreordained before the foundation of the world that God had a plan for your life. See, truth is not random, but truth does have opposition. That's why when the prophets cried the word, "Lift up a standard," in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, and throughout the Old Testament, it was because that there was so much opposition that the standard had fallen down. That truth had been done away with and people had walked away from it. But here's what I want you to understand. What is not truth is a lie. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm coming down the road today and I'm laughing. I'm listening to some of these new conferences. You know, we live in a world today that it's kind of hard to tell what is truth, isn't it? Yeah. You cut on a radio and you listen to one and you know, you listen to another. When you turn the news on, you think, I'm better off without it. Embellishment. A new term, fake news. Y'all heard that one? What's that mean? That just means it's a lie. Okay? But here, listen. What is not truth is a lie. When you go study through the Old Testament, when the prophet cried, "Raise up a standard," what's he trying to do? He's trying to get the people to turn back to God, to raise up the standard that God has given. Why? because the people had drifted from the Lord, and they had set them up every other idol in God that they can possibly find of their own making that they made. They gave it, you know, what did it say? They would choose a wood that would not rot. They would overlay it with gold, and they would set it up just like this pot. Then they would pray to it. And we laugh about that. And we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we think we're going to make it without God. What are we depending on? You can't. You're not even guaranteed you're going to have your next breath. And I want to give you this one, this last one. Folks, truth has not changed. You know, the guy told me when I was trying to talk to him out there, God didn't live in 1985. Doesn't mean he's changed. See, God's word has not changed. In Psalms 119, verse 89 through 90, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. And thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." That's me and you. That's our generation. And the earth, here's the thing I want you to understand. Whether you believe in global warming or not, the earth's going to abide until God calls us out of here. Okay? God has not changed. His word's not changed. His character has not changed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, very simply, he said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Then in Hebrews, New Testament, chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever." And then I like this one. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, and this is obviously in, I want to pull it out of its context, but it means something very significant for you and I. "By two immutable things," and here's the first one, "as God made promises to his people in which it was impossible for God to lie." I try my best to be what I'm supposed to be, but I don't know about you. I'm never satisfied with myself. You know, I get up and I pray and I thank God. Sometimes, I don't know if y'all, I think it's what, God, why in the world do you choose me to do anything? I look at my wife and I say, I don't deserve my wife. I look at my kids and I say, I don't deserve my kids. Look at my home, I say, I don't deserve my home. Here's the point. I can tell you what I believe and what I'm going to do. I may or may not do it. But when God tells you what he's going to do, it's done. See, I grew up in them old preachers, and I'll give you this saying. What does shout mean? Thou shalt. When the scripture says that God shall, it means it's done. When you and I say we're going to do something, let's just be honest, it means we might do it. But when God made a promise and he spoke, and here's the thing I want you to understand, every word is a promise. I begin to study, and just some of the other things I'm looking at, and I see how God has fulfilled promises, and then I look at some of those other things, and it's almost like this. I go and I look, and I'm wondering, is today the day that the promise is fulfilled? Is today the day? I was reading that scripture over there, and I'm just going to say this briefly because I'm going to have to preach on this soon. But you ever read where the Lord told Ezekiel to go prophesy to the bones? He said, they're going to live again. I read that scripture, and I thought about over there in May of 1948 from all over the world, and I just started in my mind seeing bones come flying. And all of a sudden, they stand up and they're a man. And there's a nation of Israel that's reborn. Can I tell you that for hundreds of years, preachers preached the word of God with Israel not being a nation. But because they believed the word of God, they preached it. Folks, God's word is fulfilled, but there's yet to come. And everything that God said, it's impossible for God to lie. It's going to happen. And here's the last thing. God's promises hadn't changed. You see, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it talks about it. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. When I was 20 years old, I was a Christian. But I lived my life thinking I was going to live forever. Just had another birthday, and I'm counting on them promises. I'm looking for them. I'm expecting them, and I'm believing them. And because I believe them, here's my goal, knowing that when I say something, I might do it. I say, God, help me to finish strong. Help me to live the rest of my life the way you want me to live it. Because even though I'm just a man, I do believe it. You see, because his truth has not changed. And his truth endures. And this is what I want us to understand. Regardless of what men say. Regardless of what the people who have the platform say. God's not changed. Amen. And his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Anybody have a word or anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight? Anybody have a thought you'd like to add or anything tonight? A verse of scripture you'd like to read?